Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. I am in studio with Ray Mondragon of Creation Science Fellowship. He is also a professor at Chafer Seminary. And Ray, welcome in again.
Well, it's good to be back.
It is one of my great pleasures, frankly, to have you here because I love to talk about things that I hear the world arguing with Christians about. You know, I hear them worrying about arguing about creation science, and we've had four or five meetings together. We've gone through a lot of great, very basic statements about evolution, things that supposedly support evolution, and you've shown us very clearly that those things are not supporting evolution. So why don't we do this? Why don't you remind us right now of the issues of creation versus evolution, and then maybe we'll review a little bit about what we've already gone over, and then we'll move forward with today's discussion. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right.
Well, first of all, when we talk about science and scripture in general, which this is what we've chosen as a title for our series here, there are three major areas that we have a conflict. The Christian Bible-oriented community has a conflict with science. We don't have a conflict with science per se, but the interpretation of the data, particularly past events like creation.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with the first one, which is the issue of creation versus evolution. Eventually, we'll get to the Genesis flood and the interpretation of secular geology.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big issue is the issue of time. So we're focusing in on creation versus evolution. And the last couple of weeks, we've looked at evolution and tried to analyze whether or not there is good scientific evidence that supports it. And the conclusion I've come to, and I've tried to convey, is really the science is not there to support evolution.
And Ray, you've kind of defined that this is the theory of evolution, not the science of evolution.
Well, let me take it a step even behind that. I don't even call it a theory in that I don't think scientifically it raises to the level of a theory.
But the fascinating thing is, and they must have just had the greatest marketing campaign of all time, because I was in elementary school longer ago than I like to acknowledge. So, you know, 50 plus years ago, and evolution was absolutely taught as science in the schools. I remember seeing that, you know, that description of apes all the way up to Cro-Magnon man. And then there was a little gap called the missing link.
Mm-hmm.
And you've shown us that there's never going to be a missing link. There is no transition between one species to another. It can't happen mathematically.
And biologically.
Biologically. Summarize for us some of the issues that you've covered.
Well, we started off on this issue dealing with what evolutionists require in order for their theory to, or I shouldn't even say theory, but philosophical idea to be held. They need what they describe, well, what is reality are mutations. In other words, mutations do exist. We don't contest that.
Right.
But what they need is an abundance of positive mutations that head in a particular direction and create new species.
Well, and
that's where we started.
I'm coming from the layman's perspective. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a scientist. But let's just say you have a fish and it's swimming in the ocean. All of a sudden, that fish, in order for it to walk on the land, has to grow two legs, not a single appendage, which would then keep it from swimming correctly and probably end up in its death because other fish would eat it. But growing the legs isn't the only thing that has to happen. It has to develop lungs. It has to, and mutations just don't happen in that specific order.
Well, not only that, but I gave you seven results of 160 years of study in the area of mutations, and everything goes against evolution. So the bottom line, we spent time trying to discuss why mutations don't provide. In fact, they're the opposite of what evolution provides. So there's no mechanism for evolution.
But the evolutionists themselves, and you've given us quotes from multiple evolutionists that state that mutations are an essential process
absolutely
in the process of evolution in order for it to be true.
Exactly.
And yet you have shown us there's no way mutations happen in a way that would ever support evolution.
Absolutely.
I love it. I mean, the logic here is not complicated.
Right.
Now, the subject matter can get very
Well, it can get technical as you get into the biological issues and the microbiology. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of microbiology. In fact, microbiology today basically leaves evolution bare. In other words, it basically, in fact, one of the quotes that I'm going to use at the end here when we complete our discussion is from a microbiologist, and he essentially describes evolution as a myth.
Mm.
We'll get there.
Well, tell me where we're going now.
Well, we started last time, and we only had a half an hour, so we didn't get much into it. In fact, I was only going to do another session on evolution, and then the next time I'd like to get into some positive evidence that supports at least the idea of an intelligent designer.
Right.
And then we can, from there...
Which has been utterly dismissed by the scientific community, or I should say secular scientific community.
Yes.
And Ray, I want to kind of discuss something of logic here. So you have shown, and the evidence is very strong, that evolution does not even rise to the level of a theory, much less science. So a scientist could equally come back and say, oh, well, you people in the faith community, your theory of creationism doesn't rise to the level either. But when I evaluate both things, they both are going to require a lot of faith. And I mm-hmm. can't think of anything in science that doesn't require some faith.
And especially when you're dealing with past events, like how did things come
mm-hmm.
about?
Mm-hmm.
It does, in fact, not only require faith, but it also requires certain assumptions about the past.
Yes.
But overall, I hope to show that there is actually scientific evidence, and if we have time today, I'll give you a little
sure.
snippet of scientific evidence, hardcore science that actually supports our position rather than, and in fact, goes against evolution.
Yes. Well, I we have no doubt. I guess when you are in a scientific community, there's something that I hear called the scientific method. There's processes of study. There's intellectual honesty that scholars are supposed to employ. They're supposed to not be biased by their own experience. And it seems like we might fall into that as well. We might be thinking, you know, our experience, our faith is clouding our vision. But at the same time, just because you're a person of faith doesn't mean you can't believe in a creator and that you can't discover from the science that the creator is in mm-hmm. fact the one that made the entire world.
And actually, historically, the scientific method came about as a result of Bible-believing Christians that were interested in passages like Romans 1 that tells us that we can see something of God in the creation. So they applied their hermeneutical and their exegetical principles. If they work studying the Bible and their objective principles, then we can apply them in seeing what the creation says about God. That's historical. In other words, that is real, and that's the origin of the scientific method. So at the heart of our desire to know God's word is basically the scientific method.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientific method is applied in the natural realm, obviously, but it started by applying the same principles to the study of God's word.
Well,
checks and yeah. balances. In other words, ways of verifying truth, essentially.
Yes. Well, and all we really want is an honest discussion. All we really want is scientists to mm-hmm. to consider these options. We want the major universities in this country to acknowledge, yeah, evolution has got a lot of loopholes. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about micro and macro evolution.
Well, that's what we ended up with last time. In other words,
I guess what I was thinking is that we're going to give us a little bit more detail about that. Explain those two concepts to us. Remind us of what you taught us
okay.
last time.
Well, there were Because of time, we only had time to get into two of them. One of them, I gave you the area of comparative anatomy and how that is used as evidence for evolution. And I tried to explain that there's a better explanation. Even as an engineer, we can see that very easily. Then the second area was, in fact, what the evolutionist will say, and we don't contest, but they will use a word that the Christian should not use.
Okay.
Because you've already been sucked in just by the word that they use. And they use the word microevolution.
Okay.
And it's a fact. You can observe changes within species, in other words, within certain boundaries. And we call that, they call it microevolution, but it's variation. That's the better word. Mm. In fact, that's a better scientific word.
Okay.
So the argument is, you can see this. In other words, animal breeders know about it. In other words, you can see how you can breed certain animals and get certain characteristics.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like fast horses and
exactly
that kind of thing.
And a lot of it different areas. So if these changes take place on that level within the species, then the argument is, doesn't it make sense that you have macro evolution that simply just takes millions and millions of years? You can't observe
macro it. Evolution, though, is where one species
becomes another
species.
Exactly.
And there is no evidence for that happening.
No observation of that ever occurring at any time in history. There's no evidence of it in the fossil record as well.
Yes. So if you take a species into the laboratory, like, for example, I know that for certain medicines and things, they will test those medicines on mice because somehow they've identified that the characteristics of mice mm-hmm. in some way have something to do with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those are.
There's some commonality.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but they're going to look at the effects of those medications on those mice. Now, there's a whole segment of our society that's very offended by that type of testing, and they feel like that's cruelty to animals, and that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, it's a different area.
But what I'm emphasizing today is not whether that's wrong or right, but that's what has been done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been anyone that said a mouse turned into a man. There's no evidence that...
Well, the evolutionist does,
yeah,
but...
Well, and I've joked about this, and maybe I shouldn't keep saying it, but I'm always a sports-oriented guy. When you were talking about the order that mutations have to happen in, a very specific order, you have to grow legs and arms and lungs and muscles and all of these different things in a very specific order, there's just no way that can ever happen in any amount of time. You name it.
Right.
And so I joked about, you mean an amoeba can't turn into an NFL football player? And we could take 10,000 years or not. So anyway, we have Ray Mondragon in studio with us. He is with Creation Science Fellowship, and he is a professor at Chafer Seminary, practicing engineer, loves to study this stuff. We are going to be back with Ray, all kinds of things to talk about this afternoon with creation versus evolution. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosque Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosque at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
Ever have trouble being forgetful?
Honey, have you seen my reading glasses?
Sweetie, they're on top of your head.
Wow, again? That's the same place I left them last time.
Hi, Doug Chamberlain with the Samaritan Ministries Family Health Checkup.
Being forgetful is frustrating, but thankfully there are things you can do to increase your brain power. We know that exercising our bodies is good for us and helps to keep us healthy. In a similar way, exercising your mind is also important to function effectively. One of the things you can do to build mind power is to learn a new skill, something that takes focus and concentration, like learning a new language or playing an instrument. We know that memorizing scripture is vital and beneficial for us and for those who need to hear about God. There are numerous scriptures that talk about its importance in our lives. It helps us to know God better, and it strengthens our minds. For more about your family's health, visit FamilyHealthCheckout.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. We want to remind you that they meet the third Tuesday of every month at Faith Bible Church, located at Central and Moon in Albuquerque. 7 o'clock p.m. Absolutely great. Free, Ray.
Yes.
Come in and talk with a bunch of scientists and find out about questions you may have. If you are a college student, even if you're a high school student, you're an adult wondering about these kind of issues and things that people have said to you. I have a really good friend of mine, probably be mad at me. I won't bring up his name, but he's been a biology teacher for a really long time. He's a really smart guy, and he loves marine biology and loves to be in the ocean. But he's talked to me about evolution, and I've looked at him and I've said, how can you possibly believe in this? And he has brought up some micro-evolution type concepts where there are similarities in species or there's variation. You know, like, for example, Ray, and no offense, but I'm taller than you.
I didn't notice.
You're a lot faster than me. I can promise you that.
I bet I can jump higher.
You probably can. I have no
Just
doubt.
Kidding.
Hey, I absolutely, that's one of my problems is I could have been a really good basketball player if I could run, jump, shoot, or rebound.
Or dribble.
Or dribble. There you go.
But I remember your day.
And despite that, I really had a really good time. And I tease people all the time. I spent most of my time sitting next to the coach, and I wanted to play, but actually I was having a blast too, just being there. And that's why I enjoy coaching, because I saw how coaches would motivate people and
have an impact on young people.
An impact, and it's kind of a chess game. You know, you have to watch the matchups on the floor. You have to look at different things. And we're not talking about this, but every time I watch a basketball game, I'm always sitting up in the stands coaching, because I'm thinking, well, why didn't you substitute when this guy came in the game? And my kids all went to Hope Christian School, and I'll shout out to Jim Murphy, who has to be, if not the best coach in the state of New Mexico. He's at least one of the best. And my favorite thing that Jim did is he would change defenses. And he would call something, and the kids could change running back on defense. They could change from man-to-man to a trapping zone. They could change from a trapping zone to matchup zone. They could do a 1-3-1 trap. They could do anything that he wanted, because that's how he trained them. And so if an opposing coach called timeout, they were automatically coming back on the floor to face a different defense than they were expecting. And it was such a simple concept, but worked so wonderfully. And this is really, in some way, what we're trying to do through the radio station, is stimulate people to think about these issues and then to get a little practice. You know, go to Creation Science Fellowship and learn a little bit. And it's not going to be like you have to go to practice and run laps and it's going to be really hard. It's going to be kind of an enjoyable evening. Go three or four times. You speak frequently?
I'll be the speaker next month.
Okay.
And the title of the talk will be Intelligent Design. In fact, the essence of intelligent design.
Very nice. Well, and I like it because there are, facts that cannot be disputed. And there's no scientist that's going to have a big enough word to put you down after you go to one of these things. You're going to have enough information to stand your ground. Course, in love and care for people, but you're going to be able to say, hey, I am not an idiot because I'm a person of faith.
Exactly.
I've thought through this. I've given it some real thought. So, all right, I've wasted everybody's time talking about basketball a little bit. Let's talk now about creation versus evolution and the areas to be discussed today.
Well, the area of concentration is we're going over some of the evidence that the evolutionist uses to support his theory. And we started off with two in the short time that we had last time. And some of this evidence, unfortunately, they still use, even though much of it has been highly discredited. And I'm going to mention it only because I've noticed that it still appears in some of the textbooks, some of the high school textbooks. And because it does appear, the thing that probably is striking about that is that the evidence is so meager that they have to keep relying even on discredited evidence. One of those is called the recapitulation theory.
Okay.
And this is the idea that in the womb, and this is an old one, this is goes back to the 1800s, Haeckel had these drawings and showed how the fetus of different creatures are so similar that the idea is that the fetus goes, a human, for example, goes through all of the past evolutionary stages. Now, that's been totally discredited, and in fact, Haeckel's drawings were proven to be fraudulent, but that, I have found, appears still in some of the textbooks.
So recapitulation, I need a little clarification.
What that means?
Okay, so once there's an embryo, once there's a fertilized egg and it begins to grow.
A single-celled, what they would say, creature, now evolving through the different stages of evolution until it reaches, obviously, delivery date, then it's a somewhere in there it becomes human.
Okay, so
totally discredited, though. So you don't even need to remember it. But and the only reason I mention it is I've seen it appear in some textbooks still in the 21st century here.
Wow.
Another one very similar to that, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, but you probably heard of vestigial organs. When we were growing up, or at least I was, I'm a little older than you, they used to take tonsils out. When they got infected because of the evolutionary idea, thinking that they had little use and little effect. They were the remnants of past evolutionary stages. They just haven't been dropped out of the evolutionary time frame.
Right.
And they had a list of over 150 of these at one time. And over time, we have noticed, including tonsils, that they have a very definite use. And today, there's only three or four that they still hold on to. But they use that as evidence still.
Well, I've heard that about the appendix.
Yeah, same thing, same idea. But we know that that also is very important in the immune system, just as the tonsils are as well. So that's an area that I don't think has much validity and has been discredited in large measure. Probably one of the big areas, however, is the whole area of anthropology. And if you study anthropology, you'll go through the textbooks, and like you mentioned earlier, you'll see the whole sequence from a non-human primate of some sort evolving over at least four different stages.
Yeah, you have these bent-over ape-like creatures,
right.
And then they're slowly standing up, and they're presented across a page.
And
you know,
one of them's called Homo erectus.
Yes, there you go. Right.
And that's the stage just before Homo sapiens, full humans. But so far, all of the evidence, and there's books that are available written by Christians with a background in anthropology that explain all of the details. Obviously, we don't have time. In fact, one of them I'll mention, it's called Bones of Contention. And the author, Lubinow, is a trained anthropologist who has all of the credentials, and he shows how basically anthropology not only does not support evolution, but a lot of the ideas are not scientific.
I love it. Ray Mondragon in studio with us this afternoon. We are talking about creation science versus evolutionary theory. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More coming up.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
There's a power, and this I've experienced firsthand. On your hardest day, on your most challenging day, when you praise Him when you feel like cursing, when you praise Him when you feel like falling over and dying, when you praise Him when you're mad at Him and you don't understand what He's doing, but you praise Him anyway. And you say, "You're God, not me. I trust You. I honor You. I worship You. You give and You take away. Blessed be the..." I'm telling you, something wells up inside of you. It's better than happiness. It's joy. It's joy inexpressible. It's joy indefinable. It's peace that passes understanding. It's saturated in glory, and it's sublime. So we have these wonderful things that we're given. We're also promised that we're in the will. That's great. That's always great, right? You're in the will.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
You are into ABQ Connect this afternoon with Ray Mondragon and Jim Williams in studio, and we are talking about creation science versus evolutionary theory. And there's a lot you've already said, Ray, in our previous meetings. You've talked about mutations and how they are essential to the process of evolution. You've quoted a number of evolutionists. And by the way, there's a lot of people that may have questions about that and didn't have time to write that down last time. So we want to reiterate again that the third Tuesday of each month, you meet with Creation Science Fellowship, and you're not always the speaker.
No.
But you will be at the next meeting.
Correct.
And the meetings are at Faith Bible Church, Central and Moon in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it is free.
Right.
Free to attend. Just an opportunity for some fellowship and some good discussion. You're not just getting a lecture. You're able to get questions answered and so forth. And so I want to encourage you, regardless of your faith position, go ask some questions. Find out about, from people that are well qualified.
You did mention that you could meet some scientists, but I hope people weren't intimidated by that. But it's a good family-oriented group. And a lot of homeschoolers, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's homeschoolers that are part and families are a part, along with people from Sandia National Lab. So it's a good mix, but most of them are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather together to not only share fellowship, but also the concept of creation science.
So, Ray, you're a person of faith. I mean, you have a ministry. You want people to know about Jesus. You want them to believe in the creator of this world.
Absolutely.
How does that bias your perspective on everything we're talking about here?
Well, everybody's biased.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you have a sound, realistic, good bias. And if you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the creator of all things, so He knows the ins and outs of every area of life, not just science and not just religion, you might say, or theology.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good thing to be biased on God's side, basically.
Mm.
So when we're people of faith, we're biased towards God as creator.
Mm-hmm.
We're biased in terms of God's revelation, and one of the things I hold to, and everybody at Creation Science Fellowship and Chafer Seminary, by the way, we believe in the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our bias.
Yes. But at the same time, you can go in and you can look at theories postulated by maybe even other creation science people.
Right.
And you can evaluate those processes and those theories and say, yeah, we find some validity here. We don't find so much here. you're not necessarily, you know, insulting anybody. You're just going through what they've postulated. And I want to say, I think this is really a neat thing to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't even fault people that grab a hold of evolution. The hard part for me is that they won't look at anything that has anything to do with God, mm-hmm. because they say emphatically there is no God.
Yeah.
When in fact, you know, the scriptures clearly say that the evidence of God is in all the creation.
Right.
The very things that they're looking at reveal him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing.
Well, if you remember, we started off, in fact, the way I introduced this series was, if you assume, you can assume if there is a creator, and if that creator has revealed himself in his word, then if he's creator, then that's the area that science studies.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's given us a lot of information concerning that creation in his word, it makes sense that you won't find a conflict between that area of true science and what he reveals in his word. And that's one of the principles that we operate in under Creation Science Fellowship as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to talk a little bit more about anthropology.
Okay.
And, you know, off air, we were talking a little bit about Steve Collins. And Steve is a pretty well-known guy around Albuquerque, and he is an anthropologist and does a lot of digs and all kinds
Archaeologist,
I'm sorry. But he does get into the area of anthropology in all the things that he discovers.
Right. The remains of
past cultures,
that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the part of the area of
There's a whole evaluation of everything that's found in one of his digs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that has expertise in, you know, managing a site and documenting everything thoroughly. And, mm-hmm. you know, he started a seminary here. I think it was called Trinity at one time. And
it's Trinity Southwest University now.
Not University. And,
right.
And so
I've taught with them as well.
Yeah. You know. And, you know, Steve was very involved with Calvary Albuquerque. Involved in their educational programs and things, and now it's just kind of exploded in the mm-hmm. in the type of research and stuff. In fact, I think he offers opportunities for people interested in this area to help him.
Oh yeah,
on some of these digs, like when they're in Israel.
Oh, he depends on volunteers.
Yeah, we have to get Steve on the program. That's a good reminder to do that. So,
yep.
Tell us a little bit about archaeology and anthropology and how that. Is used by the evolutionists to support their theory.
Well, I don't know how much they get into archaeology other than the anthropological area, anthropology. Mm-hmm. But essentially, what you will observe, every so often they'll find a few bones, maybe a tooth and a jawbone and a part of a skull or something, and they'll come to some initial conclusions. But then they will make it sound more spectacular than what it really is, mm-hmm. and it'll hit the media, and, you know, a new find in somewhere in Africa,
mm-hmm.
maybe the missing link or whatever.
Sure.
But you'll find out in 6 months after other anthropologists and other scientists have taken a look at all the data that, well, this is just another one that we can classify as either fully ape or fully human, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, every find to date falls into one or the other categories. Now, the anthropologist divides it up into four categories, but in reality, there's just the two, either a primate and or fully human.
Mm.
And after a little discussion, maybe the newspaper might print on page 12 of the paper a little disclaimer there. What scientists thought was the missing link, they've revised their thinking, et cetera, and it's no longer considered a candidate.
So,
and that's the pattern that you'll see in anthropology, because they're desperate to find a missing link. And if there's no missing links, they're never going to find it, but you'll still continually hear about this kind of a spectacular find.
Right. Well, so anthropology really is not really supporting evolution.
No.
I want to know what that would actually look like if they were to how would they find something anthropologically that would show the transfer or the conversion of one species to another? What would that actually look like?
Well, you'd have to have the same thing that you would expect in all of the species. You'd expect to see incremental, step-by-step progress from a primate, a genuine primate. You'd expect to find it in the fossil record all the way, or at least the secular interpretation of the fossil record. I'm going to give a different one. You'd expect to see all of these transitional forms step by step all the way to humans. And it's just not there. In fact, it's not there for any creature that you look at in the fossil record. In fact, that's the other area that I want to discuss today is the fossil record itself.
Yeah, well, we're going to come back and do that here in our next segment. Stay with us. Ray Mondragon, what are you, Ray? I've forgotten. I've lost my mind. Creation Science Fellowship.
Yes.
Man, I started thinking about the question while I was talking. It's like in basketball, you try to make a move before you catch the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what I just did. I apologize. Ray Mondragon with us. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Ladies of Calvary, get ready for the annual Winter Gala and Lovely Market. Join Sheology Women's Ministry for Feliz Navidad with inspiring speaker, author, and mentor Debbie Alsdorf on Tuesday, December 3rd. The Lovely Market will be open at 3 p.m., so come early and take care of your Christmas shopping. Tickets must be purchased in advance and are available online at calvarynm.church. Come with expectant hearts for a fun-filled evening. We look forward to celebrating the season of Jesus' birth with you.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
Latitude's Neighborhood Market is more than just a gas station. Latitude stresses local convenience at grocery market prices. Locally owned and heavily invested in the community. Unlike the national competition, they support local church groups, schools, and service organizations. Come into a nice clean store with friendly faces to greet you. Then pick up a rewards passport to save even more on gas. And get reacquainted with what real convenience is all about. Always open for you. Located in Rio Rancho, just across from Intel, or online at golatitudes.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are in the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. I'm always wanting to say Christian Science.
Well, we hear it more often than you do creation science, so it sticks in our mind, I think.
Well, and Ray, you're really a scientist at heart, an engineer, and you are a person of faith. And you want some intellectual honesty from the science community about considering that there may actually be a creator of this world, and that Jesus himself may be the Son of God and one of three persons of the Trinity and lived and died on this earth for our sins. And that can be documented, probably historically, than any other single person on this earth. And the archaeological evidence for all of the places described in the Old and New Testament is overwhelming.
Yes.
And there are many religions that espouse a history. And I can testify, not knowing all the details, but that there's very little archaeological evidence of any, if any, to support those other religions.
And actually, most religions don't deal with history. The Bible is somewhat unique in that area. Now, Mormonism does, but it's like you say, it's not supported by
right. But there are claims made,
right.
and I don't want to dispute any of those.
Truth claims.
Right, and I don't want to offend anybody, but we definitely have some differences of faith, and we want to take people that are considering Christ. And we want to take people that have already made a commitment to him and received his forgiveness. We want them to feel intellectually like they are not, you know, putting their brains on the shelf and abandoning intellectual capacity. This is really good, honest, real, scientific stuff that we're talking about today.
Yeah, and just like you say, we want to use our brains. You say it every time, and you just... If you hadn't just said it, I was going to say, remind you.
Ray,
we want to do is we want people to look at the evidence, look at the data, look at what is available, and come to your own conclusion. If the evidence points towards evolution, and I'm trying to show that it does not, then believe in it.
Right. But this is not just relegated to the topic we're talking about today. I've spent a lot of time over the last 3-4 weeks telling people how they can go to various websites to get information about the municipal election. That is, election day is today.
Today, yeah.
But early voting has been going on for several weeks. And all I'm trying to do is to get people to be able to find sources for the information and read it. Because this is not a project that's going to take you 4 hours. I'm not asking anybody to go read a 500-page book. I'm talking about going to a website. You take 15 or 20 minutes. The interesting thing is that if you take that small amount of time, you're going to spend a lot more time in it because it's very interesting. You find out about the school board candidates and who they are and what they're standing for. You look at the bond issues that are on the ballot. You begin to ask some questions like, you know, what is democracy dollars? Where does the $25 come from in proposition number 2 on the Albuquerque municipal ballot that is going to go to a politician based on residents, not on voters? And there's a million questions that arise. So I don't have to say vote for it or not vote for it. I just want people to read about it and ask their own questions.
Yeah, make an intelligent decision. And we're saying the same thing scientific data, whether it supports an intelligent designer or evolution, make a choice.
So we're talking about the fossil record a little bit. And I'm just going to go off script and say, on the top of the Sandia Mountains, east of Albuquerque, they have found evidence of marine fossils on the top of that mountain.
Yep. That's
right. Okay, well, how did that happen?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to get into the fossil record probably in more detail when we talk about the Genesis flood. Because I believe that there's a better, in fact, a more biblical and a more scientific explanation for the fossil record. But we'll save that for later.
Okay.
But let's just talk about the fossil record itself, because that is one of the main supports that the evolutionist used in the past.
Right.
Again, just like microbiology is totally destroying the idea of evolution, the fossil record is doing the same thing in the area of paleontology and geology. Mm. Same thing.
Okay.
And we've already mentioned that what the evolutionist requires in the fossil record, if it's to support it, is what Darwin had hoped and anticipated. In fact, he was a big proponent of the fossil record. He said that this is what we will find. We will find these transitional links that lead from one species to the next, and we'll see it continuously. Well, again, we have 160 years of investigation of the fossil record. Conclusion that geologists, paleontologists have come to is the evidence is not there. And instead, what we have, instead of slow progress, number one, we have the abrupt appearance of life. Abrupt appearance. In fact, the geologist calls the Cambrian layer, which is supposedly is the bottom, it is the bottom of all of the, it's the bottom layer, sedimentary rock.
Okay.
The bottom layer. And you would expect...
So it would be the oldest layer.
Yeah, supposedly, yes.
Okay.
And oldest in terms of the other layers above it.
Okay.
You would expect an abundance of single-celled animals progressing to higher creatures, but you have the abrupt appearance of very complex forms. Some creatures that have eyes, creatures that have complex internal organ systems.
Wow.
And the geologists, they call that Cambrian layer the Cambrian explosion because of the abundance of very complex creatures.
Wow.
And they're all at that lower level. Now, most of them are sea creatures, which gives us data to take a different look at it, and that's part of the alternative view of the fossil record that I'll give later on. But the point being, the fossil record doesn't support evolution. You have abrupt appearance of very complex life forms, no transitional forms.
So a frog didn't turn into a bunny.
No.
Okay.
You also have lots of inconsistencies in the fossil record that doesn't support evolution. And you also have what is called the persistence of kinds. In other words, the persistence of species. That persistence, in other words, you can see insects or any creature, basically, and compare it to creatures that you can observe today, and there's virtually no difference.
Wow.
So the fossil record doesn't support it. In fact, I've got another quote here from a scientist that has studied this by the name of Mark Ridley. He says, in any case, no real evolutionist, whether gradualist or punctuationist, now I'll come back to that word because that's a later theory now.
Okay.
He says, in any case, no real evolutionist, whether gradualist or punctuationist, uses the fossil record as evidence in favor of the theory of evolution as opposed to special creation. So evolutionists find it troubling. In fact, you could even say that the fossil record destroys the theory of evolution from the geological and paleontological viewpoint. Stephen Jay Gould says the following. In terms of the fossil record, the absence of fossil evidence, and he's an evolutionist, one of the most famous ones, the absence of fossil evidence for intermediate stages between major transitions in organic design, indeed our inability, even in our imagination, to construct functional intermediates, in other words, no transitional forms, we can't even imagine them, in many cases has been a persistent and nagging problem for gradualistic accounts of evolution.
I don't know.
That's the conclusion of 160 years of study in this area.
At what point is pursuing the theory of evolution insanity? Because they keep saying the same thing over and over. And they are expecting a different result, and it's just not happening. So, Ray, I'm so glad you're going to be with us one more segment. We're going to come back and say one more thing about the fossil record and then talk about the second law of thermodynamics. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
My father-in-law passed away about 4.5 years ago, so the house went through probate, and we needed to sell the house after we got done with probate. So I introduced Dom to my sister-in-law, Gloria, who lived up in Denver, and she felt very comfortable with him and him handling the sale of the house. We had a buyer almost immediately, but it fell through after several months of negotiations. We did a lot of improvements on the house, and so that fell through, and Dom immediately had another backup buyer, and the house proceeded to sell very quickly after that. We closed. Dom handled everything so smoothly and professionally. It was fantastic.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship. He is also a professor at Chafer Seminary. Not a retired engineer, but more of a bicyclist now, right, Ray?
I guess you could say that.
Hey, I'd rather be riding my bike than doing engineering problems. The math and stuff you guys have to do is just way beyond me. So, okay, we brought it up before the break. Second law of thermodynamics. How's that come into play with evolution versus creation?
Actually, this area will transition us into what we will talk about next time. I'd like to give positive evidence for an intelligent designer, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a believer in scripture, we would believe that that intelligent designer is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you look at the evidence, it points to
you don't think he had a ghostwriter?
I don't think so. It points to has to be a supernatural being.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to create a universe that is incomprehensible to us.
Mm.
So, and this goes against the concept of evolution.
Okay.
What evolution requires is some principle, some law, some mechanism in the natural realm that produces innovation, newness, progress. And we've already seen that mutations don't provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no principle that, in fact, does that, that is observable, that anybody observes. So what you need is something that produces higher and higher complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know today, in fact, we've known it for years. And by the way, there are clear statements in Scripture, not scientific statements per se, but statements of Scripture that describe the second law of thermodynamics. And by the way, this coming Sunday, I'm going to expound that passage and do some creation science in a Bible teaching class at 9 o'clock this Sunday.
Okay, and where will that be?
This is Grace Bible Church.
At Grace Bible Church, which is right over off of San Antonio.
Right.
And great, 9 o'clock. Ray.
So I'm going to talk about the second law of thermodynamics.
Okay.
But the second law of thermodynamics is one of the most universally accepted laws of science that touches on virtually every other science.
So the creation scientists are okay with the second law of thermodynamics. The evolutionists are okay with the second law of thermodynamics.
Well, it's not a friend of theirs.
Okay. But yeah. they can't really dispute it.
No. It's observed everywhere that we have observed it, no matter how far you look beyond even our galaxy. It's observed in the entire universe. It affects biology. It affects chemistry. It affects every area of science, essentially. Second law of thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. Now, the Romans 8 passage tells us where it came about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At least I believe that. So this law, along with others, but primarily this law, not only is universally accepted, but there are no exceptions that have ever been observed except for miracles.
Mm, okay.
So it's a pretty solid law that is accepted. In fact, as an engineer, you take an entire course on thermodynamics.
Now, what is the second law of thermodynamics?
The second law of thermodynamics is basically this idea of everything unwinding. In other words, things moving from more complex to less complex.
Mm. Not too more complex.
No, you never observe that.
Got it.
Never observe that. Whether it's in biology or geology or wherever, it's never observed. So it's a universal principle that's accepted by all scientists, and it goes totally contrary to this idea of innovation and movement from less complex to more complex. In fact, I've got a good description of it from the physics text that I took at UNM last century.
Okay. you need an archaeologist to find that for you somewhere in the fossil
that book,
record.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a good description, and I like to use it. And if I can pull it up here, because I don't have it memorized, obviously.
Hey, I do. I want to read a verse that's always encouraged me, and it's Romans 1:20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes,
yes,
his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So the people that are really looking at all of this evidence,
right,
really, if their minds were objective and they were looking at it, you know, with intellectual honesty, they would see God.
They would see God, absolutely. In fact, I expound that passage as well. In fact, there are two very clear scientific passages in the book of Romans, that Romans 1 passage and this Romans 8 passage that I'm telling about.
Mm.
Let me read this statement because it describes it in different areas. It says, "Thus heat always flows spontaneously from a hotter to a colder body."
Mm.
It's part of the second law of thermodynamics. "Gases always seep through an opening spontaneously from a region of high pressure to a region of low pressure." It's always the case. "Gases and liquids left by themselves always tend to mix. They never unmix. Rocks weather and crumble. Iron rusts. People grow old. This is all the action of the second law of thermodynamics." Mm. Now, I'm interjecting my own comments
here.
Sure. The quote goes on, "These are all examples of irreversible processes that take place naturally in only one direction."
Ray Mondragon, we're going to have to start next time with the second law of thermodynamics. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.